BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at bcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
We do thank you for joining us today, and I believe you'll find our program rather interesting today. This evening marks the beginning of Purim, the time of celebration by the Jews. But what exactly is Purim, and what were the circumstances that brought it about? And are there any correlations in other periods of history, and even in our modern day, that have significance to this day? Well, we invite you to listen today as we welcome to Crosstalk Marty Zeid. Marty is the director of Midwest Messianic Center. Marty, as a Jew, placed his trust in Jesus as his Messiah back in December of 1971. Marty, good to have you back with us on Crosstalk.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
So Purim, perhaps people have heard this term before, but don't know exactly what it is and what were the circumstances that brought it about. So Marty, if you would tell us about the origin of Purim and what was going on at the time that brought this observance to what it is today.
Well, and that's very true. A lot of people may not be as familiar with Purim as they are, say, Passover or Hanukkah, but it is a holiday. It's celebrated. Kids enjoy it. There's a festive time. There are actually some people who put on programs that revolve around what happened during this time, but it really revolves around the book of Esther. During that time, the Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian kingdom had kind of been taken over by the Medo-Persians, and they're in control at the time when all of this took place. Many of the Jewish people were given the freedom, who were captive in Babylon for 70 years, that if they wanted to, they could go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the house of the Lord. We read that in chapter 1 of Ezra. Many Jewish people did, but most stayed behind. So in Babylon, and then the Medo-Persians took over, so they're now under the control of the Medo-Persians. And what was happening, the Jewish people were, continuing to kind of, they acclimated to their time during that Babylonian captivity of 70 years. And what we have here happening is a time when, well, as we see down through history, a hatred for the Jewish people began to surface again. This isn't the first time. We saw it with Pharaoh when he had a desire to destroy the Jewish people. He was fearful that they were becoming way too powerful of a nation. And now we see here the Jewish people again, have some freedom here. And there's this one man who was raised up. His name is Haman. And he was very, very close to Ahasuerus, who was the man in power. And he put Haman in control. And what Haman wanted to do, basically what happened was when he was given a little bit of power, Haman, it went to his head. And he wanted the Jewish people to bow down to him. Well, Mordecai, who was one of the people who remained in Babylon, refused to bow down to Haman, and that made him furious. So what he did, he devised a way where he thought he could get rid of all the Jewish people. He went to the king and says, there's people who don't listen to you. There's people who don't follow your ways. They have their own laws, et cetera, et cetera. So he thought of a way in which all of the Jewish people, especially Mordecai, would be killed. Well, this plot was discovered. It was reported to Queen Esther. By the way, she becomes a very prominent person. Queen Vashti, who was the queen before her, kind of disobeyed the king. She was put aside, and they found a new queen, and that was Queen Esther. That was Mordecai's cousin. All of this, it's really neat. Ezra is one of the only books that never mentions God, his name, the word, and yet you see the sovereignty of God, him controlling circumstances all throughout that entire book. So what we see happening is there's this plot. Mordecai makes it known to Queen Esther, he says to her, you need to go in unto the king and tell him what's going on. Well, the problem was she was not summoned by the king to go in to see the king. Going in by herself meant she could be killed right on the spot. So she was risking her life, and Mordecai said, well, maybe this is the time for which you have been born, and she came to the conclusion, if I die, I die. So she goes in. He welcomes her in, so she's not put to death, and she wants to throw him a big party and invites Haman. He thinks he's going to be the big star, and all of this is going on, and then this is when the plot was made known. And then also, it's a very interesting thing, one night Ahasuerus couldn't sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And could you imagine, he goes, bring me the books of the Chronicles, not the Chronicles of the Bible, but the happenings in my kingdom. I just want to read them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he's reading them, and then all of a sudden he reads about what Mordecai did, never hearing about it. And he goes, wow, we got to do something for him. So he wants to throw this humongous parade and feast and everything else. And when the king makes it known to Haman and explains to him, he goes, I want to honor this man. He's very special. And he's thinking it's for himself.
Right.
And then when he hears it's for Mordecai, that really, really got him upset. So long story short, he wants to build this gallows so he can see Mordecai hanging from it, but God turned the tables, and what happened was Haman was hanged on his own gallows.
Mm-hmm.
But he had a plot. He had the desire to have all of the Jewish people eradicated. And that's really where the holiday of Purim comes from. And if you were ever to go to the celebration, into a Jewish home or a part of the Jewish community, the little children would be given these little noisemakers that you kind of spin around and it makes noise.
Yep.
So whenever the book of Esther is read and the name Haman is pronounced, the little children will go boo, hiss, and they'll take those noisemakers and they do that. And it's a fun time for them. But it's a celebration. The way that it's celebrated today, it's a remembrance of how God delivered the Jewish people from a wicked, evil man who wanted to annihilate them.
Wow.
And if you think about it, most Jewish holidays began that way. That's the way Passover began. God delivers the Jewish people from their Egyptian slavery. Hanukkah it came about as a result of the Jewish people getting their temple back from wicked Antiochus Epiphanes. So most of the Jewish holidays kind of were birthed out of a desire to do great harm to the Jewish people.
Interesting. Well, Marty, and now you mentioned that this was not the first occasion in which we saw such anger and hatred launched against the Jews, anti-Semitism, but it actually, you said it goes back to the time of Pharaoh?
Well, it goes back to the time of Pharaoh, but it actually goes back to the Garden of Eden. And it's so interesting because right after Adam and Eve sinned, you know, God is walking in the cool of the garden, they're hiding, and of course they're exposed and so forth, and when God begins to talk to them about what they have done, God has a word for Adam, he has a word to say to Eve, but he also has a word to say to the serpent, which obviously is the devil. And it's most interesting what God says to the serpent. And what happens here in Genesis 3 is the very first messianic prophecy in the Bible is given. In Genesis 3:15 is the first messianic prophecy, and it's not given to Adam, and it's not given to Eve, it's given to the devil. Basically, God says to the devil, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He, this seed, will bruise you on the head, meaning the word bruiser literally means crush, and you shall bruise him on the heel. Well, I'd rather have a little bruise on my heel than a crushed head.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, what the devil is being told is that all that was just lost in the garden one day is going to be reversed, and it's going to be reversed by the Messiah who's going to crush your head. Now, what Satan takes away from that is, from the seed of a woman, as a woman gives birth, this person who's going to do this to me is going to be born. So as more and as years and years and years and years go by, there's more and more and more people that are being born on the planet. And what Satan is desiring to do is to corrupt them and cause them to be as bad as they could possibly be. Well, you know, he did a pretty good job, because you jump over to chapter 6 of Genesis, mm-hmm. and this is why the flood had to come about. Satan was corrupting humanity so bad that God basically started all over with Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wives. Eight people saved, spared in the ark. Now, let me just say this. You go up to Genesis 12, and now God reveals that this seed of the woman is going to come from a specific person in his lineage. And, of course, this is Abraham and his descendants through Isaac and through Jacob. So Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are the descendants, are the family in which this seed is going to come. Now, that was incredible news for the devil, because now he doesn't have to try to corrupt the entire human race. So now, who becomes Satan's primary target? It's the descendants of Abraham, and that's the Jewish people. So in reality, even though a lot of people who are anti-Semitic don't realize what they're doing, it's really a battle. This whole idea of the hatred of the Jewish people is really a battle between Satan and God, and Satan trying to destroy and to keep God's plan from coming to pass. But he's always going to fail at that, because once God determines something, it's done. It's as good as done. But to answer a person's question, and I'm asked this quite often when I travel around, why do the people hate the Jewish people? I mean, they've been very productive. They've offered so much to humanity. We have benefited greatly by many of their discoveries, medical, technological, and otherwise. Why are they hated so much? The only explanation, really, I believe, that satisfies that question is it goes back to the battle between God and Satan. It's Satan's desire to interrupt, thwart, destroy God's plan. And the average person walking down the street who doesn't like Jewish people, sometimes they don't even know why they don't like them.
Yeah.
It could have been that's the way they were raised, that's what they heard in their home, but it's alive and well. And some people might say, well, wait a minute, the Messiah's already come. He's already ascended back to heaven. If it was Satan's desire to keep the Messiah from coming into the world, that's already happened. Why do people still hate the Jewish people? The answer for that is because there's a wonderful future ahead for the Jewish people.
And friends, we're going to be delving into that perhaps a little bit later into the second break, because we're going to take a further look even here at the anti-Jewish hatred that was occurring in Scripture and some of the more recent times as well. Marty Zeit is our guest, director of the Midwest Messianic Center. We'll be back in just 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, Noah's Ark Explorer from the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, where did Noah build the ark?
Chris, we simply don't know where Noah lived nor where he built his boat. This is because the flood of Noah's day totally restructured the surface of the earth. There are no geographical remnants of that pre-flood world. Everything about that world is totally gone. Now, it is true that two of the four rivers named before the flood are the same names as today's rivers, but I suspect that Noah named these rivers like he did because they reminded him of the previous rivers. They couldn't have been the same, because beneath these rivers are tens of thousands of feet of flood-deposited strata. They simply didn't exist before the flood. At least that's how I see it from a Back to Genesis perspective.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Visit our web store at icr.org/store and use the promo code FACT at the checkout when ordering your That's a Fact DVD.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Our guest today is Marty Zeid, the director of the Midwest Messianic Center, and we're talking about Purim, which begins at sunset this evening and to sunset tomorrow, and talking about the anti-Semitism from then and also now. Marty, you were indicating, and we were just briefly looking at events that have happened and unfolded in Scripture itself. I mean, numerous illustrations as to this hatred against the Jewish people. I mean, isn't that what King Herod was doing, even in the slaying of the babies in Bethlehem?
Yes, and that's another example of that. Again, his desire, he was threatened because he heard a king was born. Mm-hmm. Well, he was king, and he wasn't going to have any of that. So obviously this is another satanic ploy to try to get rid of the Messiah, Jesus, as an infant, and it obviously didn't work.
And as we take a look, we can see throughout biblical times, but there have been other historical times as well, even in recent centuries, where there have been attempts to eradicate the Jews.
Yeah, that's true. And that's unfortunate, because if you go back to the original calling of Abraham, with the Abrahamic covenant, in Genesis chapter 12, one of the great verses where he tells Abraham, I'm going to make of you a great nation, I'll bless you, I'll make your name great, and you're going to be a blessing. Abraham is a blessing, not just to the Jewish people, but to the nations, and that was always God's plan. But he says in verse 3, and I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, Abraham, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. That's an interesting point there, because it says, through Abraham and his descendants, those who bless them will be blessed. Those who curse them will be cursed. And, you know, that is a subject that can literally be traced all through biblical history and all through world history. There's a reason why it says in Psalm 122 and verse 6, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Really, the world should love the Jewish people because of the blessings that God has made possible through them. Now, this had nothing to do with Israel themselves. God didn't look down and say, oh, man, those Jewish people, I have to just choose them. I don't have an option. Mm-hmm. Not so. He could have chosen any people group, but he sovereignly made a choice to choose them. It tells us that in Deuteronomy chapter 7. Why did God choose the Jewish people? He says, because I'm God. That's it. I am God. I made this sovereign choice. And God always had the families of the earth, that's the Gentile nations, in mind as well. One of the things I try to communicate to people when I travel, when I'm in churches, you know, there's 99.99.99% Gentile believers in most churches. Mm-hmm. There are some Jewish people, and I want them to know that they weren't shorted in any form or fashion by God choosing the Jewish people.
Yeah.
The truth is, the blessings that Gentile believers have come through the Jewish people, through the Abrahamic covenant, and primarily through the New Covenant as well. People who are truly regenerate and born again should have an appreciation. If a person was trapped in a burning house and a crew of firemen come in and rescues them, what kind of feelings do you think the person who was rescued should have for the firemen? They would be eternally grateful,
yes,
to them for rescuing them. Well, God used the Jewish people to bring about these blessings, and these blessings come through Abraham and his descendants. So much so that he says in verse 3 of chapter 12, I'll bless those who will bless you, but on the other hand, the one who curses you, I will curse. And we've seen down through history people who have cursed the Jewish people, meaning, you know, disliked them, hated them, wanted to see them destroyed. And it goes, again, you got Pharaoh early on, you got Haman, you got Hitler. There's people over now in the Middle East. They could only wish that they could get the nuclear weaponry, to, in their mind, to blow Israel off the map.
Yeah, and I'd like to comment on that, Marty, because what we're witnessing is this a growing worldwide hatred of, and to set the stage for that, I saw this is not just happening in the United States. And when I look what's happening in the States, I mean, just so let me start at the States and go out here. But this just came out from Robert Spencer, Jihad Watch, March 12, 2019, Newton, Massachusetts taxpayers filed a lawsuit in Middlesex Superior Court against Newton School Committee Superintendent of Schools, against the principals of the Newton High Schools and certain high school teachers. And the plaintiffs are asking for a court order that would compel Newton school officials to stop indoctrinating students with anti-Semitism, bigotry against Israel, and Islamic religious dogma. They point out some of the evidence, how the Newton teachers teach that Jews and Christians deliberately forged their holy text to contradict the Quran, that Zionism has little connection to Jewish history in Palestine, that the Jews took advantage of the Holocaust to gain sympathy for Zionism at the expense of Arab plight, and that the Israelis treat the Palestinians like the Nazis treated the Jews. After being taught all this, then the students are asked to debate whether there should be a one- or two-state solution to the Arab-Israeli conflict. I mean, Marty, we're talking indoctrination like this and anti-Semitism being taught in schools.
Exactly, exactly. And a lot of that is revisionist history, is
yes.
all it is.
Yeah.
They revise the history, they change it, and we see the horrible effects of that. It wasn't too many years ago that we had somebody come to one of our major universities in St. Louis, which is 50% Jewish population, and he was a revisionist who was actually denying that the Holocaust even took place.
Yeah.
And if it did, it was something that the Jewish people used to try to whip up some kind of sympathy for them, and that's why the State of Israel came into play, and et cetera, et cetera. But let me just go back to this one idea. There are people, there are groups of people, there are nations that want to, if they could, they would blow Israel off the map. Yeah. I want to ask the listeners to consider, can that even happen?
Yeah.
And biblically, it cannot. And here's the reason why. In fact, all of these people who want to destroy Israel, they're just simply going about it the wrong way, because God tells us, he actually literally tells us how the Jewish people could be destroyed. If they would only read Jeremiah chapter 31, God gives the prescription, the directions on how to destroy Israel. Thus says the Lord, who gives the sun for the light by day, and the fixed order of the moon and the stars for a light by night, who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. If this fixed order departs, that would be the sun, the moon, the stars, and the waves. If this fixed order departs from before me, declares the Lord, then the offspring of Israel shall cease from being a nation before me. So the way to get rid of the Jewish people is get rid of the sun, the moon, the stars, and the waves. Now, obviously, what that is saying is Israel is indestructible. They can't be destroyed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you know, the interesting thing is, this is said of no other nation. This is not said of the United States. It's not said of any other nation on the planet in existence today. It's only said of the Jewish people. So even though they are so hated, nobody's going to be able to obliterate them. And we've seen that down through history. You know, there have been people who have blessed the Jewish people down through history. What about Rahab? Remember Rahab, a harlot? She blessed the Jewish people, and she was protected during her days when multitudes of people were being destroyed. You have people like Corrie ten Boom, who they went through terrible suffering as a result, but they were blessed as a result of them hiding the Jewish people during the Holocaust days. There have been movies made of individuals who were responsible for hiding and getting Jewish young children out of their circumstances and so they could live a life. And if anybody's never visited a Holocaust museum, I would recommend that they do it and see what really happened and really took place. And you will see how God, even though in the midst of all those horrible difficulties, multitudes of them still made it through, which is a great blessing.
And friends, what Marty is saying here today, I mean, the comments are current. I was just looking at a story from UnitedWithIsrael.org. The deputy commander from Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, Hussein Salami, recently threatened on Iran's Channel 2 television that Israel is vulnerable, bringing itself closer to death. He said, our strategy is to erase Israel from the globe political map. We have the supreme leader, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, posting this Twitter tirade against Israel just recently, saying that the Zionist regime will perish in the not-so-far future. And, Marty, what you're saying is that will not happen.
No. Biblically, we'd have to take a scissors to Jeremiah 31, 35, and 36. We'd have to cut it right out of our Bible, because it's right there. And it doesn't say, thus says Jeremiah. It says, thus says the Lord.
Yeah.
This comes from the Word of God, and Israel is a protected nation. Not saying that they haven't gone through difficulties, and they actually will go through some of their worst days up ahead, but they're not going to be annihilated.
Friends, just this past weekend in Fall River, Massachusetts, a Jewish Hebrew cemetery had swastikas and anti-Semitic epitaphs written on 30 gravestones. Heil Hitler. Hitler was right. And it's not just the U.S. Marty, I was seeing that Belgium, one town earlier had this float, and they had anti-Semitic caricatures of Orthodox Jews, a rat on top of money bags.
I saw that as well.
The Netherlands, just a week ago, became the latest European country to confirm sharp rise in anti-Semitic incidents over the past year. We have the Center for Information and Documentation Israel said in their annual report, anti-Semitic incidents in the Netherlands increased in 2018 by 19%, the UK 16% increase, Germany a 60% increase, France a 74% increase. This is happening worldwide.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you wouldn't necessarily want to be Jewish and live in France today. It's really off the graph. You mentioned about a cemetery being desecrated. It wasn't too many months ago when here in St. Louis, there was a Jewish cemetery where multiple, I mean, just rows and rows of stones were toppled over. That happens to be the cemetery where my mom and dad are buried, my aunts and uncles, my grandparents. So I went down there the next day, as well as many other Jewish people, to see if their family members' tombstones were destroyed. Fortunately, it was in another location completely in the cemetery. But the person who actually did that came out and turned themselves in. And, you know, you just see those kinds of things. If a person listens carefully, and most Jewish people have their ears turned on to this, a person can just be joking and simply saying, making some kind of off-color joke about a Jewish person, or you know, the way they're caricatured, mm-hmm. this, that, and the other, and it's just so rampant. I tell people, sometimes I'll ask them to raise their hand and do they know a Jewish person. And I'm going to save that story for when we come back, and I'll pick up on that, because I want people to know what goes on.
Friends, also, if you would have handy a sheet of paper, a pen or a pencil, we're going to be telling you about a booklet that you can have that will be a special help to you and your witness as well. We'll be back in a minute. This is Crosstalk.
The Bible says that life is but a vapor that's here for a short time, and then vanishes away. Scripture also says, it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Have you ever wondered what happens when you die? In the book, What Happens After Life, author Ron Rose provides a survey of the Bible's teachings about the afterlife. He tracks the destiny for those who know Christ as Savior, and the destiny for unbelievers. He addresses numerous topics, such as the immediate state after death, believers and the judgment seat of Christ, unbelievers and the Great White Throne Judgment, the New Heavens and a New Earth, the New Jerusalem, and so much more. He even tackles the question of what happens to infants, young children, and those mentally disabled as it relates to eternity. What Happens After Life is available for a donation of $15 or more by calling VCY at 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. We're talking about the significance of Purim today and also anti-Semitism that is running rampant today. Marty Zeit is our guest. He is the director of the Midwest Messianic Center. Marty is a Jew that placed his trust in Jesus as his Messiah back some years ago, and sharing with us about not only the significance of Purim, but also that of the anti-Semitism going on. And Marty, you actually go about and you speak to different groups and churches, and you were just telling us as that break was coming about that you ask people, raise your hands if you know somebody who is Jewish.
Yes, I do. And in depending upon where the church is located, the closer it is to a Jewish community, the more people will raise their hands. But I tell people, you know, it's very, very possible that you may know somebody who's Jewish, but you don't know they're Jewish. And I jokingly say, you've never seen a bumper sticker that says, honk if you're Jewish.
Yeah.
And the reason why is because Jewish people who especially, you know, work in the workforce, it's easy for them to experience some kind of, sometimes it's very subtle, sometimes it's more pronounced, some kind of anti-Semitic feelings and thoughts and this, that, and the other, and a comment will be made. And they might even make it jokingly, but, you know, when you've been on the other side of this, it's really not too funny when even, oh, I was only kidding, you know, I didn't really mean that, that type of thing. And when I was over in Argentina, even though it was many years ago, and I was walking up and down the streets and you saw graffiti that was very, very anti-Semitic.
Hmm.
You know, for the most part, in America, they've had more of a, the Jewish people have had more of a smoother ride, if you know what I'm saying. But you know what? That's, I think, changing.
Yeah, yeah.
I think we see it. We hear it. If we just have our ears open, we hear what people are saying, even in high-up positions.
Mm-hmm.
And it's becoming more and more pronounced.
And
Jewish people are hated worldwide, and now we're beginning to hear it, and we're beginning to see it in very specific ways in our own country.
Well, this seems to be, Marty, hailing back to what you said earlier about this battle between God and the devil, basically.
Mm-hmm.
God still has a plan for Israel's future.
Exactly, and it's a wonderful plan. And one of my favorite passages that I like to share with my Gentile believing friends is in Romans chapter 11, where the Apostle Paul, who, by the way, the Apostle Paul was the missionary to the Gentiles. Peter was the missionary to the Jewish people. It tells us that in the book of Galatians. However, wherever Paul went, when he went to a new town, he always went to the synagogue first, basically to follow the pattern that we read about in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. That the gospel that he was not ashamed of is to the Jew first and also to the Gentile nations. But it says in Romans 11:11, he starts off and he says, I say then, they, referring to Israel, did not stumble so as to fall, did they? May it never be. But by their transgression, that's the Jewish people's transgression of rejecting Jesus as the Messiah, here's the result. Salvation has come to the Gentiles to make them jealous. In God's wonderful plan, God chose the Jewish people. He knew that they were going to reject Jesus as the Messiah. As a result of that rejection of Jesus being the Messiah, the gospel, the door of the gospel, the door of salvation was opened to the Gentiles.
Mm-hmm.
If a Gentile really seriously thinks about their salvation, they're going to realize that their blessings have come through the Jewish people.
Marty, let me, I mean, I think of what came to mind as you were just talking here is John chapter 1, verse 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name.
There you go. And right now, we're in the times of the Gentiles, so we see multitudes of Gentiles coming to know the Lord, even though there's still a remnant of Jewish people who will believe. And that is so, so true. But this is all part of the plan of God. God never left the Gentiles out, and he isn't going to permanently leave out the Jewish people because they rejected them. We get that all the time because we live in the Mecca of replacement theology right here in St. Louis. Mm. And we run into that where, oh, wait a minute, hold on. The Jewish people had their chance. They blew it because they rejected Jesus as the Messiah. Now the church is the new spiritual Israel. And that is just, I don't like that because, not because I'm Jewish and not because of my ministry. I don't like that because if God pulled away from his promises from the Jewish people because of their disobedience, look at the church. Look how disobedient we are as the body of Christ. What if he pulls away his blessings from the church? Well, I don't think he's going to do that because I believe that God is remaining faithful to a people group who don't deserve it, and which means he's also going to remain faithful to us even when we don't deserve it. As a church, not talking about a building, but the body of Christ, and even as an individual believer, I still sin. And I think all the people that are listening would agree that they do as well. Mm-hmm. Well, is God going to pull back on us because of our personal sins? No. We have everlasting life. But the thing is, it's because he's remaining so faithful to the people of Israel, that gives me a tremendous amount of comfort and hope that he will remain faithful to the church and to us as individuals. That's why I strongly reject what is called replacement theology, that now the church has taken the place of Israel and all the blessings, all those wonderful things that God promised to the Jewish people are now the church's. But, of course, Israel retains the cursings.
Marty, and we're going to open lines here in just a moment, but I'd like you to just mention one other issue because I know you're very, very burdened to see people who are Jewish come to faith in Christ, and believers in Christ sometimes don't know how to open that door or what to say or how to say it or know what scripture to utilize. You've got a booklet that you have available for our listeners today. Tell us about it.
Yes, I would love to get this into the hands of anybody that has a Jewish acquaintance. It's called How to Share Jesus with a Jewish Friend. It's a 24-page booklet. And it's very clearly explained that you just read through it. It will tell you terminology to use and terminology to avoid because Jewish people may misunderstand what we understand by a certain word. It explains what are some of the difficulties and stumbling blocks that Jewish people have when they're encountered with the claims of Jesus being the Messiah. It talks about very effective ways to deal with objections that Jewish people will bring up as you're trying to share the gospel with them. So, yeah, if they call us, we would be glad to get this to them.
And you're sending that out complimentary?
Yes, we will do that.
How to Share Jesus with Your Jewish Friends. And, Marty, what is a way our listeners can obtain that?
Thank you. Call us here at my office at 314-942-9200.
Okay, and if they get an answering machine, leave their name and address and ask for the booklet, How to Share Jesus with Your Jewish Friends.
Yes, that'll be fine.
Okay, again, the number, folks, you can call and obtain a single complimentary copy of this, How to Share Jesus with Your Jewish Friends, a 24-page booklet. You can call 314-942-9200.
Yes.
I'm going to open our phone lines today, and friends, if you've got a brief question you'd like to ask or comment, our number 800-733-9829. Time is short, 800-733-9829. Marty Zeit is our guest today. He is director of the Midwest Messianic Center, and certainly talking about the significance of Purim and also just the anti-Semitism that is so prevalent, not only here in the United States, and we've been hearing you know, the recent vote in Congress on this issue and how things have been watered down and people in high-level offices making comments, but just to see the universality of this, it's taking place. So our number here, 800-733-9829. Marty, we're going over to Birmingham, England. We have Robert calling in. Hi, Robert. You're on the air.
Hi there. It's just very quickly to say that Purim gives the occasion for one of my favorite videos on YouTube, and that's the IDF Purim video. And you've got these soldiers practicing. Somebody's reading from the Book of Esther, and every time Haman is mentioned, they let fire with their guns and blot out his name that way, and I think that's really great.
Okay. That's, so you're saying that's taking place in England?
No, it's a video from a
YouTube
the IDF
video.
Doing target practice in Israel.
Okay.
And, but I can't remember when it was first posted, but every year I love to watch that one because I think it's really great the way they blot out Haman's name.
Thank you, Robert. Appreciate you
sharing.
Thank you.
Bye.
Interesting. And, Marty, that just certainly echoes what you mentioned earlier about what happens in the Jewish celebration of Purim.
Yes, yes.
We have Dave calling from Brookfield, Wisconsin. You're on the air, Dave.
Hi. I missed the first part of your program, so I apologize if you already addressed this. But I just heard about a poll in the United States about most of the Jews don't support our president. And yet he's been so pro-Israel. Could you just comment about that?
Great question. Thank you, Dave.
Well, you know, it is interesting that he has been extremely pro-Israel, but you would think that he would get a better reception from the Jewish community than he's receiving. He's the only one who was willing to do what it took to get the embassy back to Jerusalem, and what a great accomplishment that was. But unfortunately, the feelings and the desires that he has to show Israel kind of favor, it's not always reciprocated back by the Jewish community. I'm hoping that will change as his presidency goes on.
Let's go to George in Olney, Illinois. George, you're on the air.
I was just going to make a comment, Marty. It seems to me like the root cause of anti-Semitism is jealousy. Now, Israel had a relationship with God as a husband and a father. And even Christians today are jealous of those people because, you know, they are keeping the commandments and loving one another, even though they don't know Jesus. I mean, they're doing it. And righteousness is as filthy rags, but still, there will be a time in the future that they will come to salvation and know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And that just, Adolf Hitler was Christian.
Well,
he was Christian in name, but this is a misnomer that many Jewish people have. In the mind of Jewish people, they think that anybody who is a Gentile is a Christian. But we have to let them know that, no, not all Gentiles are Christians. The only ones who are true Christians are those who have been regenerated and born again and who love the Lord. And if they understand who they are in Christ, then they're going to have an appreciation for those who God chose. But no, Hitler was not a Christian. He was a Gentile.
Yeah, he was not a follower of Jesus Christ, and it's very important that that point be emphasized.
Yes.
Thank you, George, for the call here. We're going to take a quick break. Marty Zeit is our guest today. We'll pick up more calls on the other side of the break. This is Crosstalk on VCY America. We're talking about the significance of Purim today and also anti-Semitism, and certainly the correlation that has with the origin of this very day that is celebrated, going back to the Haim of Esther and that wicked Haman who sought to eradicate the Jewish people. Back in just 1 minute, you're listening to Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brennan House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. Well, this past week, Fox News suspended, at least for one broadcast, maybe more, we'll see, the program of Judge Jeanine. Well, what did Judge Jeanine do? She accurately quoted the Quran. She accurately quoted Islamic sources to reveal that indeed women under Sharia are to wear their head covering in order to avoid being molested, which shows that this member of the United States Congress she was talking about is indeed complying with Sharia. Sharia is completely inconsistent with our constitutional republic, not only in how women are treated, but how Christians and Jews are treated. And again, these are comments that have come from a woman who's complying with Sharia and making anti-Semitic remarks. And what happens? Fox News complies with Sharia. We're in a dangerous situation.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America, and friends, if you missed that phone number to obtain that free booklet, get a sheet of paper, have handy a pen or a pencil, because before we go off, we will give you that phone number once again. Marty Zeid is with us today. He is director of Midwest Messianic Center, and we're going right back to the phone lines. Very busy today. Lance is calling from Bainbridge, Ohio. You're on the air.
Yes. Jerry, the reason I believe the Americans hated the Jews from the time I was born, when I was old enough to understand, everybody told me that the Jews killed Jesus. And until I got saved in the Holy Ghost, I read my Bible and I found out the Jews did not kill Jesus, but it was taught in our schools. It was taught to all of us when we were growing up, and I was born in the 1940s.
Mm-hmm.
And they taught us, hate the Jews, they killed Jesus. And I think for that, and I think that's still going on here.
We're going to have Marty comment on that issue.
Yes, thank you very much for that question. And that is widely taught. But you know, in Acts chapter 4, verse 27, it says, "For truly in this city there were gathered together against thy holy servant Jesus, whom you did anoint, both Herod, Pontius Pilate, the Gentiles, and the people of Israel." So it was the political people who were against Jesus, as well as the Gentiles and Israel. So who does that include? Everybody.
Mm-hmm.
We have to balance it out. Were the Jewish people, did they have a part in the crucifixion? Of course. You can't read the New Testament and come away that. But was it only the Jewish people? Are you the Christ killers? That's what Jewish people are called. And of course, the answer to that is no, they were not alone. The Gentiles did it also. But you want to know who ultimately crucified Jesus? It was ordained and predestined by the hand of God, the Father. It was his plan. It was his program. It is true, humans carried it out, but it wasn't just the Jewish people. That's what a lot of, unfortunately, they take the rap for it, but to be fair, biblically, it's everybody.
Thank you for the call here from Ohio. Today, we're going to go next to Miami, Florida. Courtney, you're on the air.
God bless you, brothers and sisters out there, those that are sanctified. And shalom, Ms. Booker, shalom.
Shalom to you as well.
You bless my soul to be on the radio. I'm going to tell you, saints, something. There's no greater joy than when God sends a Jew your way to witness to. You humble yourself and you say, "I thank you, Lord." And all y'all listening, get that free booklet. Get it, because I've learned so much. When I go for my dialysis and I'm boasting in the Lord because he set this up for me, I read my King James Bible out loud, and I have Messianic music in the background playing. Thank you, and I love that music because the Jews, they thank God for the land. They thank God for the deliverance. They thank God for the Messiah that's coming. They thank God that he is God. And it was wrong. It was the people that didn't want to accept Jesus. Those, like the brothers say, those are the ones that killed Jesus. So God bless you, and shalom again to you, brother. God.
Thank you.
Thank you, Courtney, very much. And as you look at Isaiah 53:6, Marty, it was our iniquity that was laid all upon him.
Yes.
Ronald is next, La Crosse, Wisconsin. Hi, Ronald, you're on the air.
Yeah, the number one reason is because the 12 gates in heaven are named after the 12 tribes of Israel, and the 12 foundations told the men of Israel. The second one is Constantine made a death decree in the year 235. He said, "Death anyway does Israel, and death only keeps the Sabbath anyway." And then Martin Luther had done seven things that cursed God's people, and Hitler took justified killing six God's people.
Yeah, well, you know, I know that Luther did say some bad things about the Jewish people. He did much that was right, so it just shows that he had feet of clay as well.
Thank you, Ronald. And looks like we'll get one last call in from Lafayette, Indiana. Bill, you're on the air.
Okay. I would like to present this thought pattern to you.
We've got a very short time.
Okay. Do you believe that, first of all, we know that Europe has strong anti-Semitic attitude, and now it's moving to America. Now, do you believe that God, in actuality, is dealing with his Jewish people first before Christ, before he deals with the church? In other words, what I'm saying is, with the Jewish people, is he calling them home? First of all,
okay, we're going to have Marty respond to that because we're low on time. Go ahead, Marty.
Yeah, there is a great future that the Jewish people have, and actually during the tribulation period, we're going to see that's when Romans 11:25-26 comes to pass, when God will save the entire remnant in a very, very short time. But that's still yet future.
Thank you, Bill, for the call. We have out of time. Marty, quickly, you have a website, and you've got a lot of free materials there, and we're also going to provide a phone number, but tell us your website and how people can get in contact with you.
If they log on to MidwestMessianicCenter.org, MidwestMessianicCenter.org, and our phone number is 314-942-9200, and we'd like to see you. Whoever would call us, get a copy of this, How to Share Jesus with Your Jewish Friends.
Okay. Again, folks, you can get a complimentary copy, just a single copy, a 24-page booklet, by contacting them at 314-942-9200. That's 314-942-9200. And all they would need to do is, they get an answering machine, leave your name and address. Please send me a copy of that booklet you offered on Crosstalk. They'll get it to you. And what a tremendous tool, Marty, we appreciate you making that available to be a help to so many.
Thank you. You're welcome. And thank you so much for this time that we were able to have together to discuss these things.
And great significance to the observance of Purim by Jewish people around the world. Indeed. Thank you, Marty, for being with us today.
Thank you.
And friends, thanks for joining us here on Crosstalk on VCY America. Again, if you'd like to, they've got just a single line going in there, so if you get a busy signal, just wait a few minutes, call right back, and ask for that brochure from their ministry, How to Share Jesus with Your Jewish Friends. Again, their phone number is 314-942-9200. Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.